بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 26th session, reading from Fat al-Qawi al-Mateen fi Shar' al-Arba'een wa Tatimmat al-Khamseen, the explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them. The sharh or explanation of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. The hadith that we intend to take this evening, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala, is hadith number 22. But before we do that, we want to take a quick look at some of the matters that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 25. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 21. The main topic or subject of hadith number 21. Anybody? Okay, Naam, Fadl, Talib.
Brother had asked the Prophet, the companion had asked the Prophet to advise him and make it something that is clear and comprised of Islam as a whole.
Something that is clear and comprised of Islam as a whole. Tayyip. Zaki.
So you don't have to ask no one else.
So you don't have to ask anyone else. Naam.
Iman and istiqama are necessary to be successful.
Iman and istiqama are necessary to be successful. Yani, the core meaning of this hadith deals with iman and al-istiqama, that both of them are necessary. And he said, say, قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, say, I believe in Allah, and then be upright. And be upright. And then remain upright upon that which yani is entailed in iman in Allah. Now, second question, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi of this hadith and the muhaddith, Abdul Wali.
Abu Amr, Wakila, Abu Amra.
Amrata.
Amrata.
Abu Amra or Abu Amrata, naam.
Sufyan bin Abdullah.
Sufyan bin Abdullah, radiallahu anhu. Tayyib. Mention the two things necessary for the answer in this hadith to make the questioner free of need to ask anyone else. Yani, what would make the questioner free of need to ask anyone else? Yani, what is it that's necessary in the answer? What must this answer contain to make the person free of need from asking anyone else? Two things. Naam. What's your name, Akhi?
Partel.
Partel? Partay, naam.
The answer must be comprehensive and clear.
Must be comprehensive, and so it covers everything, and it must be clear, so he doesn't have to ask somebody else after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question number four. Mention two characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement, due to which it is referred to as Jawami al-Kalim. Two characteristics of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which due to which it is referred to as Jawami al-Kalim. Two characteristics. Fadl, Imam.
Comprehensive and concise.
Comprehensive and concise. Naam. Yani, concise meaning few words, and comprehensive meaning its meaning. Yani is vast. Naam. Question number five. Summarize what the author says, Iman Billahi, faith in Allah, in this hadith includes. And the author says that this statement, Kul amantu billahi, yani say I believe in Allah, that this statement, Iman in Allah, yani includes what?
Aqeedah.
Go on, man. Talib.
Aqeedah and Sharia.
Aqeedah and Sharia. Tayyib. It must include Aqeedah and Sharia. In other words, yani that's one way of expressing it. But he said specifically, in more detail, in a more detailed fashion, he said that this iman in Allah that's being required here should include. Naam, you want to add to it?
That you
saying that it's the comma unless you upright if you have crookedness in your
okay, you will not attain istiqama, naam, if you have crookedness, because istiqama means being upright. The question specifically is, the Shaykh mentioned that iman in Allah, in this hadith, what is meant by iman in Allah includes what? Naam. I mean. Okay, that's part of it too. Now, mashallah. Belief, yani, it includes belief in Allah and in everything, belief in everything else that came in the book, in the Quran, and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And iman in Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not telling him to say you believe in Allah and then that's sufficient. But believing Allah includes believing in His angels and His books and His messengers and everything else that came in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And he also said that it also includes, because of the yani relationship between Islam and Iman, he said it also includes in Islam, it includes the internal matters as well as the external matters. Yani that which is generally understood from Iman, yani the things that we believe in, and also that which is generally referred to as Islam, the external affairs. It includes both of them because of yani the relationship between these two words. So the important point here is, right, that what the author says Iman includes here, it includes Iman in Allah and in everything else that we are required to believe in, that came in the Quran and in the Sunnah. That is, internally, the aqidah, things that we have to believe in our heart, as well as externally, the actions that we have to do as a result, as a manifestation of that iman. Question number 6. Explain the qa'id, the rule, related to the two expressions, iman and Islam, when they are mentioned together or separately. What is the qa'idah related to Islam? We've discussed this previously on more than one occasion. Now, Nasir. Now, when they are mentioned together, Iman and Islam, when they are mentioned at the same time, then Iman takes on the meaning of that which refers to the internal matters, like the arkan of Iman and so on. And Islam refers to the external matters, like the arkan of Islam, yani Salat and Zakat and Siyam, like this, when they are mentioned together. The second part of that rule is when they are mentioned separately. Anybody? When they are mentioned separately, Fadl, Adil.
When I mentioned separately, they both cover the definition of the other.
When they're mentioned separately, then any one of them includes the meaning of the other. Yani becomes comprehensive of yani both of these meanings, internal and external matters. The author mentions Ayah 3102, yani Surah Ali Imran, 102nd Ayah, to point to that which is required along with al-istiqamah, uprightness. Yani this Ayah, he mentions what? To point to something that is required along with uprightness. Along with istiqamah, what else is required? Yani, that's understood from the ayah in Surah Ali Imran, 102nd ayah, يَا يُلَذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. What is it that he is referring to in this ayah? He's using this ayah as a reference to what? What is required along with istiqamah? Fadl, fadl. Naam, I think you had your hand first.
That a person must, in order for them to die as a Muslim, they have to be constantly...
Constant. Consistency. Yani istimrar. Mulazimat al-istiqama. That a person is not... It's not sufficient that a person is upright for a day or two or a week or now and then. But rather, constantly a person has to be upon that. And this ayah makes us to understand what? In اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't die except as a Muslim in a state of submission. That means that a person has to be constantly yani adhering to the Islam. So that whenever they die, because nobody knows when they're going to die, then they will be in a state of Islam. So the idea of using this ayah, the point that the Shaykh he's referring to here is the need, along with istiqamah, that a person has istimrar alayhi, or mulazimat al-istiqamah, that a person sticks to it, adheres to it continuously, constantly, all the time. You want to say something about it? I didn't hear what you said.
The limbs.
Okay, no doubt. Yani istiqama means, yani the meaning of istiqama here, yani in this hadith, kul amantu billahi thumma istaqim, meaning when you say you believe in Allah, when you acknowledge this iman in Allah and whatever else is required, then istiqama means that a person yani fulfills what is required, that they do the actions that are required, naam, by the limbs, and not only by the limbs, but the actions of the limbs and actions of the heart, yani that they do everything that is required, and that they yani be, they stick to it, they adhere to it all the time. Now, question number 8, what is the thawab, the reward for one who has iman, true faith and istiqama, uprightness, yani that's mentioned in the 41st surah 30th ayah and the 46th surah 13th and 14th ayah. I think the Shaykh mentioned both of these ayahs. What is the reward that's mentioned for the, in these ayahs for the person who has iman and istiqama? Now, Abdul Wali.
They won't fear nor will they grieve at the time of death, and they will be given on bad times.
They won't fear, they shouldn't fear, and they shouldn't grieve. And most importantly, in the first ayah mentioned, أَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ, that and he accepted the good news of paradise. Yani the reward for al-iman and istiqama, most importantly, is paradise. And in both of these ayats, yani this reward is mentioned. Last question, mention three of the four fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. Mention three of the four fawaid that the author has derived from this hadith. Naam. Ameen. Okay, the diligence, the eagerness, yani, of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in asking about the affairs of the deen. Now,
the asking of a good question is an indication for a comprehensive answer.
Okay, the asking of a good question is an indication. In this hadith, the Shaykh is actually referring to the question of the companion, Sufyan ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhu. That the question that he asked, the excellence of this question is an indication of the kamal aqlihi wa ragbatihi. Yani that it's an indication, the question itself is an indication of the maturity and the completeness of the aql, of the intellect of that companion who asked such a question. And it's also an indication of his sincere ragba, desire, yani in getting an answer that would be comprehensive, that would be comprehensive and clear. Now, last two, one more, yes? Now, in this, one of the benefits of this hadith that the Shaykh mentions is in this hadith there is a clear indication of the requirement of having iman in Allah and iman in everything that came, yani in the book and in the sunnah. And finally, the last point, yani which crystal clear from this hadith is, now,
must stick to being upon istiqamah until one's death.
Sticking to al-istiqamah, yani being constant and consistent in uprightness until one's death comes. Now, so these are some of the points that we discussed last week. And today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at hadith number 22 from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. Before we read the hadith, I just want to mention that in several explanations of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, the text of the hadith, this hadith number 22, the wording of it is different. From one explanation to another, I found different wordings. For that reason, I felt it was incumbent to go back to yani the source that he mentions, that this hadith is related by Al-Imam Muslim, to go back to Sahih Muslim and look at the wording. Imam Muslim mentions this hadith with three different chains of narration. Three different isnads. From three different shaykhs. Yani, he had three different teachers that he heard this hadith from. The wording in each of them is slightly different. The last one, which is the one that's most comprehensive, appears to be the one that Imam Nawawi intended when he mentioned this hadith here. Because the other two are very brief and they don't include most of what's in this narration. However, I didn't find in any of the explanations of 40 hadith the wording exactly as it came in Sahih Muslim. Close to it, but slight word here, there, different. So for that reason, I wanted to read the wording as it came in Sahih Muslim, and then we'll read the wording as it came in the explanation. So Imam Muslim mentions this hadith from his, one of his most important teachers, Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah. And Ibn Abi Shaybah, rahimahullah, was one of the great scholars of hadith, who has a book, Al-Musannaf, that's a very important book of hadith. He was one of the main teachers of Al-Imam Muslim, and a large portion of the hadith in Sahih Muslim, any an overwhelming majority of the hadith in Sahih Muslim came from his narration from Ibn Abi Shaybah. So the first narration is the narration that he narrates from Ibn Abi Shaybah. In that narration, it says that Jabir radiallahu anhu said, and Nu'man ibn Qawqal, he mentions the name of the person. In the narration that we're going to read from the explanation, it doesn't mention the name of the person who asked the question. In this first narration, he mentions that An-Nu'man ibn Qawqal came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiallahu anhu, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Ara'ita idha sallaytu al-maktuba? Yani, what do you think about if I perform the obligatory prayers, haramtu al-haram, and he considered the things which are made haram as haram and acted upon that, and the things which are halal, halal, أَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ, shall I enter the paradise? And the Prophet ﷺ said, Na'am. Second narration. All of these narrations from Imam Muslim, but from different of his teachers. Na'am.
The first one didn't mention fasting.
It didn't mention fasting. It didn't mention fasting. He just mentioned the prayer, and then he mentioned considering things that are haram, haram, and halal, halal. That's all he mentioned in the first narration. Shall I enter Jannah? He said, Na'am. Second narration from Hajjaj ibn Sha'ir, teacher of Imam Muslim. He narrated this narration from this teacher, yani who narrates from Jabir radiallahu anhu, that he said, Jabir said, and Nu'man ibn Qawqal, again he mentioned the person who asked the question, said, Ya Rasulullah, bimithlihi. Yani he, and the narration is similar to the first narration, except in this second narration, from his second teacher, he said it also contains some words that's not in the first narration, that is, وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا, yani I will perform the prayers and whatever, and I won't do any more than that. That's not in the first narration. The third narration, which is the one that Imam Nawawi appears to be referring to, is from his Shaykh Salama ibn Shabib rahimahullah. And from this Shaykh, Imam Muslim narrates the wording like this from Jabir, that he said, أَنَّ رَجُلًا سَأَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He doesn't mention the name of the person who asked the question. A man asked the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, he said to him, أَرَأَيْتَ إِذَا صَلَّيْتُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ. الصَّلَوَاتِ is not mentioned in any of the explanations of 40 hadith that I have seen. In the narration of Imam Muslim, أَرَأَيْتَ إِذَا صَلَّيْتُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ وَصُمْتُ رَمَضَانِ وَأَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالِ وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا أَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ نَعَمْ. This, in this narration, and that's not the end of it, he said that Jabir radiallahu anhu said that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, what will it be? Inform me of what will be the situation if I performed as-salawat al-maktubat, the obligatory prayers. And I fasted the month of Ramadan, and I declared that which is halal to be halal and haram to be haram, and he acted upon that, believed in that, and acted upon it. وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا, and I didn't do anything more than that. Yani I limited myself to the obligatory prayers, the obligatory fasting, like this, and so on. أَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, shall I enter the paradise? The Prophet ﷺ said, نَعَمْ. And then, in this narration of Imam Muslim, which is not mentioned in most of the explanations of 40 hadith, the man who asked the question said, رضي الله عنه, he said, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. By Allah, I will not do anything more than that. And I will limit myself to that which is obligatory, and limit myself to that which is halal, and avoid that which is haram, and I won't do any more than that. وَاللَّهِ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. This wording didn't come in the explanations, most of them, explanations of 40 hadith, except the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. In any case, there are a few words here that came in this narration that's not in our narration. One of them is إِذَا صَلَيْتُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ. الصَّلَوَاتِ is not mentioned. أَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, the question حَمْزَةُ الْإِسْتِفَامِ is also not mentioned. And the final words here, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. I will not do anything more than that. So I wanted to point this out, so it will be clear, the narration as it came in Sahih Muslim, what is the exact wording. And there's no difference in the meaning. There's no difference in the meaning. But it just came like that in that narration. Okay, now I'm going to read the narration, yani the wording of the hadith as it came in the 40 hadith in Imam Nawawi in our collection on page 77. In some of the printings of this book, the pages may be a little bit different. And the one that I'm reading from is on page 77. Yani the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He says, Hadith al-Thani wal-Ishroon, 42nd hadith, an Abi Abdullah Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhuma. Yani on the authority of Abu Abdullah, Jabir, the son of Abdullah. Yani his kunya was Abu Abdullah, and he was the son of Abdullah al-Ansari, from the Ansar, the people of Medina. May Allah be pleased with both of them. Yani Jabir and his father were companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أرأيت إذا صليت المكتوبات without the word salawat. وصمت رمضان وأحللت الحلال وحرمت الحرام ولم أزد على ذلك شيئا أدخل الجنة without حمزة الاستفهام. Meaning is the same. قال نعم رواه مسلم. The last words that's mentioned in the Sahih Muslim are not mentioned here. Yani that the narrator said, Wallahi la azidu ala dhalika shay'an. Yani by Allah, I will not do anything more than that. Imam Nawawi then says, and he doesn't say Imam Nawawi, but this is from Imam Nawawi, after the narration of the hadith, Rawahu Muslim, it just says, Wa ma'ana harramtu al-haram ijtanabtuhu. Wa ma'ana ahlaltu al-halal fa'altuhu mu'taqidan hillah. Yani the meaning of harramtu al-haram, Imam Nawawi says, اجتنبتهو. Yani that I have considered and accepted yani the haram as being forbidden means I avoided it. اجتنبتهو. I left it. I left that which is haram. وَمَانَ أَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالِ and the meaning of I looked at that which is yani halal as being lawful, what Allah made lawful. He said the meaning is فَأَلْتُهُ مُعْتَكِدًا حِلَّهُ that I did it, that which is halal, believing that it's lawful. I did it believing that Allah made it lawful. Naam. This hadith is a tremendous hadith. Yani the Shaykh mentions 5 points in his explanation of this hadith. He mentions it in 5 points. And some of those points contain more than one point. But in any case, the first point he mentions of the 5 points is related to the name of the narrator. Because in this narration it says, أَنَّ رَجُلًا. Doesn't say who it was. The Shaykh Abdul Muhsin is telling us that the name of the narrator, as it came in other narrations of Imam Muslim that we just read. He said that جَاءَ فِي بَعْضِ الطُّرُقِ الْحَدِيثِ فِي صَحِي مُسْلِمْ تَسْمِيَةَ الرَّجُلِ السَّائِلِ النُّعْمَانِ ابْنِ قَوْقَلْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ that it came in some of the narrations, in some of the turuq, yani the isnads of the hadith in Sahih Muslim, the mentioning of the name of the questioner, the man who asked the question, and his name was النُّعْمَانِ ابْنِ قَوْقَلْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. His name was النُّعْمَانِ. The second point that the Shaykh makes is the meaning of, yani the beginning of his question, when he asked the question, he said, أَرَأَيْتَ إِذَا صَلَّيْتُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ أَرَأَيْتَ. Yani ra'a means to see, right? Or to consider, to view, how do you see something, right? How do you view it? The Shaykh says, this statement, أَرَأَيْتَ, from the questioner, مَعَنَاهُ أَخْبِرْنِي إِذَا فَعَلْتُ هَذِي الْأُمُورِ أَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Yani, the meaning of ara'aita is, I want you to inform me. Not, what is your view? Tell me. Inform me. Yani, inform me. If I were to do these things that I'm mentioning here, will I enter the paradise? So he's telling us the meaning of ara'aita means, akhbirni. The third and fourth point, and the fifth point are the core of the explanation of this hadith. The fifth point meaning the benefits that are derived from this hadith, 6 benefits. And the third and fourth point actually explains the core meanings of this hadith. The third and fourth point from Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafizullah, are the core meanings of this hadith. They are relatively brief, but they cover the core meanings of this hadith. Point number three, Shaykh says, الأمور التي سأل عن دخوله الجنة إذا فعلها. Yani the third point, yani is the mention of the affairs which he asked concerning if he did those things, that will be the cause of him entering the paradise. Those things, the mention of those things, which if he were to do them, it would be the cause of him entering the paradise. They are as-salat, as-siyam, ihlal al-halal, wa-tahrim al-haram. And in the performance of the obligatory prayers, the fasting of the obligatory fast, إحلال الحلال, considering that which Allah made lawful as lawful, believing in it and acting upon it. تحريم الحرام, considering that which Allah made haram as haram, believing that it's haram and then acting upon that belief. These four things. وليس فيها ذكر الزكاة والحج. The Shaykh says, these things were mentioned in the question, and there was no mention of zakat and no mention of hajj, which are also pillars of Islam. And a person can't be a Muslim without the pillars of Islam. The Shaykh says, so, and he explains the possible reason why these things are not mentioned. فَيُحْتَمِلُ أَنَّ الْحَجْ لَمْ يُذْكَرْ لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ قَدْ فُرِضَ. And it's possible that the Hajj was not mentioned because it had not yet been made obligatory. And here, yani, I was given these papers yesterday by Imam Hanif, yani, a tremendous benefit here from Imam Al-Awsat, Imam Al-Awsat, Shaykh Al-Islam Al-Taymiyyah. He mentions this hadith. He says, the hadith of Nu'man hadha qadeem. فَإِنَّ النُّعْمَان ibn Qawqal قُتِلَ قَبْلَ فَتْحِ مَكَّةِ. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, the hadith of Nu'man is an old hadith. It's from the earlier times. Because Nu'man ibn Qawqal radiallahu anhu, he was killed before the conquest of Mecca. So it wasn't in the end of the lifetime of the Prophet, it was in an earlier time. He was killed before the conquest of Mecca. The conquest of Mecca was in the eighth year of Hijrah. Was in the eighth year of Hijrah. So he was killed before the eighth year of Hijrah. And the Hajj was made obligatory in the ninth, according to what appears to be the more stronger opinion, the ninth year of Hijrah. So Hajj had not yet been made obligatory. And this is the Shaykh's explanation of why, yani, perhaps that's the reason why Hajj was not mentioned. Not because it wasn't important, it had not yet been made obligatory. Then he says, وَلَمْ يُذْكَرَ الزَّكَاةَ تُذْكَرَ الزَّكَاةَ لِحْتِمَالَ أَنْ يَكُونَ فَقِيرًا لَيْسَ عَنْدُهُ مَالٌ يُزَكَّى. And the reason why zakat wasn't mentioned is because of, perhaps because of the fact that the man who's asking the question was poor, and he didn't have any wealth to, yani, to offer as zakat. So he didn't say, if I will give the zakat, I don't have any money to give zakat, so he didn't mention it. He didn't mention zakat, not because zakat wasn't important, but because, perhaps it was because he was, yani, poor person. He didn't have any money to give zakat. The Shaykh then gives another possible explanation for the absence of the mention of zakat and hajj. He says, وَيُحْتَمَلُ أَن تَكُونَ الزَّكَاةُ وَالْحَجِّ دَاخِلِينَ تَحْتَ إِحْلَالَ الْحَلَالِ وَتَحْرِيمَ الْحَرَامِ. That perhaps zakat and hajj comes within, yani, the meaning of in this hadith of considering that which is halal is halal and that which is haram is haram. And how is that? Because, yani, if a person considers that which is haram is haram, then included in that which is haram is abandoning the hajj. It's haram to abandon hajj. According to some companions, the person who was able and didn't make hajj is a kafir. So perhaps he said that they were not mentioned because they are also included under, yani, the title of, yani, accepting, believing and acting upon what Allah made lawful and that which Allah made haram. So indeed, it's haram to abandon the hajj, and it's haram to abandon paying zakat. Even though in the world today, probably most people are not paying zakat, especially in non-Muslim countries. But know that it's haram to not pay zakat, to not give the zakat, it's haram. Person who's able, it's obligatory. It's haram not to do so. Point number four, so this part of the hadith, or this part of the explanation, deals with what? The mention of what came in this hadith, from the asbab, the causes, the actions, due to which a person will enter the paradise. As-salat, as-siyam, looking at that which is halal and haram, whatever Allah declared to be halal and haram, and acting upon that. Believing it and acting upon it. And then the explanation of why hajj and zakat were not mentioned. Point number four, the Shaykh talks about here, the what came in this hadith in reference to those things which are mentioned from the obligatory acts, and that there was no mention of voluntary acts. And here the Shaykh talks about, in this hadith there's no mention of the mustahabbat, things that are mustahab, nawafil, things that are voluntary. He doesn't mention any of that in this hadith. Then the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell him, and there are other things. There are a lot of other things that they are not fard, but they are also encouraged, commendable, praiseworthy, that a person should do. Love by Allah. He didn't mention any of that. Here he talks about that, and then he talks about, even if he didn't mention any of the voluntary deeds, the importance of them and the benefits of them. In this point number four, he talks about that. Two matters. Very, very important to understand what he's saying here. Point number four, the Shaykh says, "Fil hadith, ذكر القيام بالواجبات وليس فيه ذكر المستحبات." In this hadith, there's the mention of the fulfillment of obligatory duties. The obligatory duties. Yani, the mention in this hadith of salat and siyam represents the mentioning of doing those things which are obligatory. Yani, the man is saying, if I do everything, that's obligatory. And no more than that. I'm not going to do anything extra. And also, yani, so he's saying here in this hadith, there is the mention of the requirement to fulfill the obligatory duties. There's no mention of the mustahabbat, the things that are loved by Allah and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Things that are commendable, praiseworthy, encouraged to do. There's no mention of that. وَمَنْ كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَهُوَ الْمُقْتَصِدْ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. To the end of the ayah. The Shaykh says, so whoever was like that, meaning they fulfilled all of the obligatory duties, but they didn't do any extras. The voluntary things, the commendable, praiseworthy, extra duties, they didn't actions. They didn't do any of that. He said, وَمَنْ كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَهُوَ الْمُقْتَصِدِ. The one who's in that condition, who did all the obligatory duties but didn't do anything extra, is what is referred to as al-muqtasid in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, 35th Surah, 32nd Ayah, where Allah says, the meaning of which is, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Yani, the meaning of which is what? Then we have given as inheritance the book to those whom we have chosen from amongst our worshippers. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Quran as inheritance, to be inherited by those who He has chosen from amongst His worshippers. He said, فَمِنْهُمْ, from amongst those who Allah has chosen to take the inheritance of this book, the Quran. From amongst them, he said, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. From amongst them are some who did wrong to their own selves, who oppressed their own selves. ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. And some of them are muqtasid, yani he took the middle course. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And some of them are those who are foremost in doing good by the permission of Allah. By the permission of Allah. And this is the tremendous favor and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they will be in gardens. That they will be in gardens. And that they will be wearing, yani, certain clothing and how they will be dressed and the reward they will be receiving in the paradise. Yani, meaning that these people whom Allah has chosen and who has given the inheritance of the book, they are in different levels. Some of them are ظالم لنفسي. Some of them are those who wrong their own selves. Some of them are muqtasid, they took the middle course. Yani, meaning they did all the obligatory things, they didn't do anything extra. They avoided everything is haram, they didn't do, and they didn't look at the makruh and things like that. That's the muqtasid. And some of them are foremost in doing good deeds, that is those who did the obligatory and the extra deeds. They avoided the haram and the makruh. And even, maybe they avoided some things that were mubah. Yani, to avoid falling into that which would be harmful. The Shaykh says here, that those people, those people who are in this condition that's mentioned in this hadith from this companion, radiallahu anhu, that he would do the obligatory deeds and he wouldn't do anything extra. That he would avoid that which is haram. But maybe not avoid that which is makruh. Just, I'm going to make sure, I'm going to pay attention to that which is obligatory and that which is haram. I'm not going to go any further. I'm not going to do anything extra. He said, that person is what is known as al-muqtasid that came in this ayat in Surah Al-Fatir. Yani, meaning the people who took the middle course. And we're going to talk about exactly the details of who they are. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, mentions in some detail. In the end, inshallah, we'll try to come back to this. But I want to just get through the explanation now, and then we come back to these three categories of the people who Allah says, اصطفينا من عبادنا. Allah has chosen them from His worshippers. So even the people who wrong themselves are included in those who Allah has chosen from amongst His worshippers. But the levels of the believers are different. There's the ظالم لنفسي, there's muqtasid, and there's سابقون بالخيرات بإذن الله. And this is very, very important, because the people of Iman are not all on one level. That's part of the creed, the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah. That we believe that, yani Iman is conviction in the heart, speech on the tongue, actions of the limbs, that it increase and decrease, and that the people of Iman are not all on one level. They vary, they're not the same. Some of them are zalim li nafsi, they will wrong their own selves. Some of them are muqtasid, who just take the middle course, do the bare minimum. And some of those are the foremost in doing good by the permission of Allah. The Shaykh says here, after mentioning this, three categories of the believers, and that this hadith refers to the muqtasid in that ayah. So that's one of the groups of the people Allah has chosen, and they are from the people who will enter the paradise. Then the Shaykh says, وَفِعْلَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ. And this is the second point of point number four, the second part of point number four, where he talks about the benefits that even though in this hadith, the companion radiallahu anhu said, I wouldn't do anything extra, and the Prophet said, you will enter paradise. So then why should a person do extra then? Yani because there are benefits in doing that which is extra, and the Shaykh gives us yani a little look at the benefits of why a person should exert himself in doing those extra deeds that are not obligatory. He says, وَفِعْلَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَتَرْكَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ سَبَبٌ فِي دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ. Doing those things that are obligatory and leaving off those things that have been forbidden are a sabab, a cause, a means of admittance into the Jannah. Yes. Yani if a person were to do everything that's obligatory and avoid everything that's haram, that would be the means for him to enter Jannah. He's good. That person is going to be just fine by the permission of Allah. But why are we going to do extra? ولكن الاتيان بالنوافل مع الفرائض يكمل بها الفرائض إذا لم يكن أتمها. ولكن the person who does those nawafil, voluntary extra deeds, مع الفرائض, along with the فرائض. This is a very important expression the Shaykh says here. اتيان بالنوافل مع الفرائض. Some people are making a lot of attention to doing voluntary deeds and not paying attention to the obligatory deeds. Some people are praying half of the night or all of the night in Ramadan, Taraweeh, and then they're not praying Fajr. You need these extra deeds are praiseworthy, are commendable, are beneficial, if the person is doing the obligatory deeds, but not at the expense of obligatory deeds. So the Shaykh is saying here what? The benefit of doing the voluntary deeds along with the obligatory deeds, first and foremost, which is most important, then those voluntary deeds, yukammilu biha al-faraid, then the obligatory deeds, their shortcoming or defect or yani whatever is missing from it, will be completed and perfected because of the yani voluntary deeds. Because of the voluntary deeds that a person does from extra. That is, if the person hasn't completed and perfected their obligatory deeds, then this will complete and perfect the obligatory deeds. The Shaykh says here, وَجَاءَ بِذَلِكَ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُدُ وَالتِّرْمِذِي وَابْنِ مَاجَةَ. And there an authentic hadith came concerning this point, that the voluntary deeds will complete and perfect the obligatory deeds, and it's narrated by Al-Imam Abu Dawud and Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi and Al-Imam Ibn Majah رحمهم الله in their Sunan, in their Kutub, in the Kutub al-Sunan. Stop here for a moment just to look at the hadith. Shaykh doesn't give the wording of the hadith, but the wording of the hadith is very, yani there's a slightly different wording in the Kutub al-Sunan, but in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, the hadith came that the first thing that the people will be called to account for in Yawmul Qiyamah from their deeds is the Salat. The first thing is the Salat. Our Rabb, he will say, Jalla wa'ala, he will say to his angels, and he knows best, but he will say to his angels, Unzuru fi salati abdi. Yani atammaha or naqasaha. Has he completed yani his salat, his obligatory prayer, or is there some defect in it? Yani Allah will say to the angels, look at the salat of my abd, my worshipper, and see, has he completed and perfected it, or is there some defect in it? فَإِنْ كَانَتْ تَامَةً كُتِبَتَ لَهُ تَامَةً. If it is complete and perfect, it will be written. Yani that his salat will be written as being complete and perfect. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ نَقَصَ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ إِنْتَقَصَ نعم. If there is some defect in it, then any defect at all, then he will say, أَنْظُرُوا هَلِّ عَبْدِي مِنْ تَتَوُّرُ. He will say, look and see if my abd, if my worshipper has any voluntary deeds. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ تَطَوُعًا قَالَ أَتِمُّ لِعَبْدِي فَرِيضَتَهُ مِنْ تَطَوُعِهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, if he has some voluntary deeds, he will say, complete for my servant his obligatory salat, yani by the voluntary prayers that he performed. ثُمَّ تُؤْخَذُ الْأَعْمَالُ عَلَى ذَاكُمْ. And then the rest of the deeds will also be accounted in the same way. Allah will ask about the person's zakat, their siyam, all of their obligatory obligations. If they are incomplete, he will ask, did he do any extra? Voluntary prayers, fasting, charity, whatever. Then complete that which is defective in the obligatory duty with that which you did of extra deeds. So the Shaykh said that this hadith here, yani, is yani an indication of the benefits of yani a person doing those extra voluntary deeds. Even if they think that there's no real need for it, because a person can enter paradise by what? Doing all of the obligatory things and leaving off the haram. But how do we know that our obligatory actions are complete and perfect? That they don't have any shortcoming, any defect in them. And when we are called to account, if you come up short, guess what? And when you come to pay the bill and you didn't pay the whole bill, nobody's accepting that. So you have to, yani, complete it. And the completion is by the voluntary deeds. The Shaykh says another benefit of the voluntary deeds, وَأَيْضًا فَالنَّوَافِلُ كَالسِّيَاجِ لِلْفَرَائِدِ. Yani that the voluntary deeds are like a fence or a shield or an enclosure that protects the obligatory deeds. Yani it surrounds the obligatory deeds so no harm can come to them. وَمَنْ كَانَ مُحَافِظًا عَلَيْهَا. So whoever guards and protects the voluntary deeds, كَانَ أَشَدُّ مُحَافَظَةً عَلَى الْفَرَائِدِ, then that person will be more protective of the obligatory deeds. And in other words, so that no defect falls on a person's obligatory deeds, if they give attention to the voluntary deeds along with the obligatory deeds, yani the attention that one gives to the voluntary deeds will make them more protective of that which is more important. And if a person finds the voluntary deeds which are not obligatory important, and they guard and protect and preserve them, then more so they're going to guard and protect and preserve the obligatory deeds. وَمَنْ تَسَاهَلَ بِهَا قَدْ يَجُرُّهُ ذَلِكَ إِلَى الْإِخْلَالِ بِالْفَرَادِ. And whoever takes lightly the voluntary deeds, that possibly might lead him to some yani violation or some breach or some harm to the obligatory deeds. If a person takes the voluntary deeds lightly, it might lead him, yani that lax behavior, that yani taking lightly the affair, might lead him to causing some harm to the obligatory duties. After this, the fifth point and the last point, the benefits from this hadith, the Shaykh mentions 6 points, and here I'm going to try to compare what Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah, said as related to what Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, Rahimahullah, said in terms of the benefits of this hadith. And a lot of it is overlapping, and then there are some points that are not the same. The first point, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin says, from the benefits of this hadith, is حِرَصْ السَّحَابَ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ الْأَعْمَالِ الَّتِي تُدْخِلُ الْجَنَّةَ. Yani the diligence, the eagerness of the companions to know those deeds which will be the cause of them entering paradise. Person needs to know what it is that's going to help me to be admitted into paradise. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says similarly, as his first point of the benefits of this hadith, he said, the hirs of sahaba ala su'al al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani the diligence of the companions in asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point number two, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin says, أن الأعمال سبب في دخول الجنة. That a person's deeds are a cause, a reason, a means that will help a person to be admitted into paradise. And here I just want to note quickly, and without going into detail because of the time, that sababun, what is intended here by sababun fi dukhul al-jannah, it doesn't mean that this is what earns a person entry into paradise. It means it may be a cause or a means to nearness to Allah, to earn the favor of Allah and His mercy, through to which a person will allow a person, due to which Allah will allow a person to enter the paradise. It doesn't mean that if a person does these khalas, they gotta get in paradise. You owe this to me. No, it means that this may be a means through which you will get nearness to Allah and His mercy and His favor and into the paradise. So there are yani things that we say and that we do that are the deeds and the actions of iman that are asbab, causes of a person being admitted into paradise. Number three. This point number three and point number four, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned them together in his benefits from the hadith. He mentions them together. So the third point, بيان أهمية الصلوات الخمسة الخمس وقد جاء في الحديث أنها عمود الإسلام. يعني the clarification of the importance of the five prayers, five obligatory prayers. And it has been mentioned in the hadith that the salat, these prayers, are the foundation or the pillar, يعني عمود الإسلام, يعني an important pillar holding up Islam. Concerning these two points, that deeds are sabab and the importance of salat, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, in his point number three, in this hadith, is an indication of the importance of the obligatory prayers, and that they are a sabab, a cause or means, due to which a person might enter the Jannah, ma baqi ma ذُكِرَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. يعني, that the salah, it might be a cause of a person entering the paradise along with the rest of what is mentioned in this hadith. After this, point number four. Ibn Muhsin, Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, Hafizullah says, بَيَانَ حَمِيَةِ السِّيَامِ رَمَضَانِ حَمِيَةِ السِّيَامِ رَمَضَانِ. The clarification of the importance of fasting the month of Ramadan. Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen says concerning this, same thing. يعني حميت السيام. Point number, and I'm going to come back to Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. I didn't mention point number two for him. I'm going to come back to it because it's something completely different from what's mentioned in these points of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin. Point number five, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin says, أن المسلم يحل الحلال معتقدا حله ويجتنب الحرام معتقدا حرمته. That the Muslim must consider, must believe, and must act upon that which Allah has made halal, believing that it is lawful because Allah made it lawful. And the Muslim must avoid that which Allah has made to be haram, believing that it is haram. It's not sufficient just to leave off doing that haram, but the person must leave it off believing that I'm leaving it off because Allah made it haram. Here, concerning this point, Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, the obligation of recognizing, acknowledging, believing in that which Allah made lawful and that which Allah made haram. And he explains what he means by that. He said, and يَفَعَلَ الْإِنسَانَ الْحَلَالُ مُعْتَكِدٍ الْحِلُّ. That a person does that which is lawful, believing that it is lawful. When يَتَجَنَّبَ الْحَرَامُ مُعْتَكِدًا تَحْرِيمَهُ. And that a person avoids that which is haram, believing that it is haram. And then he gives some detail that, and on this point here he says, however, and the person does that which is lawful, believing that it's lawful, person avoids that which is haram, believing that it's haram, لكن الحلال يخير فيه الإنسان. But the difference between that which you believe to be halal and haram is that in reference to the haram, a person has a choice. I mean, in reference to the halal, person has a choice. إن شاء فعله وإن شاء لم يفعله. If he wills, he can do it. And if he doesn't will, he doesn't have to do it. He has a choice in that which is halal. You have to believe that it's halal, but you don't have to do it. You have a choice, he said. The person, but as far as that which is haram, فَلَا بُدَّ أَن يَتَجَنَّبَهُ وَلَا بُدَّ أَن يَسْتَصْحَبَ هَذَا الْإِعْتِقَادِ. That in reference to the haram, a person must avoid it, and they must, this avoidance must be accompanied by a belief that, يعني by this belief, that it is haram. So the difference here, he's saying, that in reference to that which is haram, a person has to leave it off, and they have to believe that it's haram. In reference to the halal, you have to believe that it's halal. You can do it if you will or don't do it. It's not required to do it. Then, the last point that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad makes, is a different point completely. Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen doesn't mention this point, and Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen mentions some other points that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin doesn't mention, so we benefit from both of them. Sixth point, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin says, بَيَانْ بُتْلَانْ قَوْلِ مَنْ زَعْمَ مِنَ السُّوفِيَّةِ أن الإنسان لا يعبد الله رغبة في الجنة وخوفا في النار. He said that this hadith is a clarification of the falsehood of the statement or the saying of those from amongst the Sufis who claim that the human being doesn't worship Allah being desirous of his Jannah nor being in fear of his hellfire. But rather, and that's where the Shaykh, he refutes it by saying, yani that this hadith is a refutation against that, because what? Because this companion of the Prophet ﷺ, he's asking, What will be the means of me entering Jannah? He has a desire to enter Jannah. It's not that, yani, you shouldn't be desirous of Jannah and you shouldn't be fearful of the fire. Rather, you should be desirous of the Jannah and you should be fearful of the fire, as is understood from this hadith. And then the Shaykh refutes them by saying, وَقَدْ قَالَ عَنْ خَلِيلِهِ, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, concerning the statement of his Khalil, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَتِي جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ, and make me, yani Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make me to be amongst those who will inherit Jannat al-Na'im, yani the paradise of delight. Yani Ibrahim alayhi salam, from the best of the prophets and messengers, from the ulul azm, from the prophets and messengers who have firm determination. Yani he is the best of the companions after our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the prophets after our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is asking Allah, expressing his desire to be from those who will inherit, and who will enter into the paradise. Shaykh Abdul Muslim says, in an oral explanation of this book, that's not recorded here in the book, he says that the Sufis, from amongst them, they are those who say, مَا عَبَدْتُ اللَّهُ رَغْبَةً فِي جَنَّتِهِ وَلَا خَوْفًا مِنْ نَارِهِ وَإِنَّمَا شَوْكًا إِلَيْهِ, yani I didn't worship Allah being desirous of His Jannah, nor being fearful of His fire. وَإِنَّمَا شَوْكًا إِلَيْهِ, rather, I worshipped Allah longing for Him, yearning for Him. And he said, this is falsehood. Yani the companions of the Prophet ﷺ sought, desired the paradise. Our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. Yani he's asking Allah for Jannah and seeking refuge from Allah. What is the meaning of this? Yani falsehood, this shows the extent to which people go when they deviate from the sunnah. This shows the extent that these people have in their mind an idea that we are above that. We're not looking for some reward of paradise or fearing punishment. We just want to be with Allah. And they're like on a high level. And this level that they claim to be on is pure falsehood. After this, 2 points mentioned by Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, or 3 points that he mentions. The first one point he mentions from the benefits of the hadith, أَنَّ الْغَايَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ هِيَ دُخُولُ الْجَنَّةِ, that the very goal, objective of this life, yani, is that a person enter the paradise. That's what it's all about, entering paradise. That is the most important thing. The second point that he mentions, وَمِنْ فَوَائِدِ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ السُّؤَالُ مُعَاد أَوْ مُعَاد فِي الْجَوَابِ فَإِنَّ قَوْلُهُ نَعَمْ يَعْنِي تَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ, he said that the question comes back or goes forward to the answer. Yani in this hadith, the man asked the Prophet, أَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, and the Prophet said, نَعَمْ. نَعَمْ. Shall I enter the paradise? Yes. Shaykh is saying that the question, shall I enter paradise, comes back with the answer. نَعَمْ, نَعَمْ, yes, you shall enter the paradise. Yani the meaning of na'am here is understood from the question. Shall I enter paradise? Yes. Yes meaning, yes, yani you shall enter the paradise. The last thing Shaykh Al-Thaymeen says, قال النووي رحمه الله, معنى حرمت الحرام اجتنبته. He said that Imam Nawawi says, and that's at the end of this hadith, after he narrates the hadith, he says, رواه مسلم, then he says the meaning of حرمت الحرام and أحللت الحلال. He said, Imam Nawawi said, the meaning of haram to al-haram, it means I avoided it. I distanced myself from it. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, يَنْبَغِي أَيُّقَالْ اِجْتَنَبْتُهُ مُعْتَقِدًا تَحْرِمُهُ, meaning that what is more appropriate, rather what is necessary, is not just that the meaning of haram to haram is that I avoided it. Rather, it's necessary to say, I avoided it, believing in its prohibition. Yani, I avoided it because I believe that Allah made it haram. Okay, so there are several benefits here. Yani, we're going to close with these benefits. We still have a few minutes remaining. The first benefit is the ayat that the Shaykh referred to in Surah Al-Fatir. The Shaykh, Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his explanation of this hadith, he explains the words of the hadith. But for the sake of time, then he goes on to say, فَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فِيهِ أَنَّ مَنْ أَدَّى الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَالْفَرَائِدِ وترك المحرمات واكتفى بالحلال عن غيره من المآكل والمشارب المحرمات فإنه يدخل الجنة. يعني the summary of this hadith is that it contains this meaning. Whoever fulfills the obligatory duties, the wajibat and faraid, and they avoided the things that are haram, and they sufficed themselves with that which is halal from the other, the things that are prohibited, from eating and drinking and whatever Allah has prohibited, they suffice with that which is halal, this person will enter the Jannah. Whoever fulfilled the obligatory duties, avoided the haram, and sufficed themselves with that which is halal, they will enter the Jannah. And then the Shaykh goes on to explain, yani, the ayah from Surah Al-Fatir. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the believers into three categories. Okay, I'm going to try to summarize what he said for the sake of time. Very, very importantly, the three categories. And this is, we discussed previously in Shajaratul Iman. The first of them is Zalimun li nafsi, the one who has wronged himself. He is the one who has fallen into some sinful deeds doing a shirk. He has committed some sins, but not shirk. This one, he said, falls under هذا تحت مشيئة الله. The Zalim li nafsi committed some sins, but he didn't do shirk. He comes under the will of Allah. تحت مشيئة الله. إن شاء غفر له وإن شاء عذبه. If Allah wills, He will forgive him the sins that he committed, that he didn't repent from. And if Allah wills, He will punish him. So this person who ظالم لنفسه, he will enter the paradise, but he might be punished first. Yani his entering into the hellfire is to purify him, not like the punishment that the hellfire is intended for the people of the hellfire, the disbelievers. It's intended to purify him. If Allah wills, He will forgive him, and if Allah wills, He may punish him. لَكِنَّهُ مِنْ أَحْلِ الْجَنَّةِ But he is from the people of paradise. The ظَالِمْ لِنَفْسِي is from the people of paradise. وَلَا عُذِّبْ فَإِنَّ مَآلُهُ الْجَنَّةِ Even if he's punished, in the end he's going to end up in the paradise. The second of them, وَهُوَ الْمَقْصُودِ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ The second of them, of the three categories of the believers that's mentioned in this ayah, and he's the one that's intended by this hadith that we're talking about. The man who said, I'm just going to do the obligatory deeds and nothing extra, I'm going to avoid that which is, I'm going to look at that which is halal as halal, and I'm going to avoid that which is haram, and so on. He said, this is the one that's intended in this hadith, the second category of the believers that's mentioned in this ayah, the muqtasid, الذي اقتصر على الفرائض. And he limited himself to those things which are obligatory, وَلَمْ يَأْتِ بِالنَّوَافِلِ And he didn't do any extra voluntary deeds. وَتَرَكَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ And he avoided the things that which is haram. وَاكْتَفَى بِالْمُبَاحَاتِ And he sufficed with those things that Allah had made permissible. This is the muqtasid, the person who took the middle course. He avoids all of the haram, he fulfills all of the obligatory, and he suffices himself with that which Allah made permissible. The third category is the سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ And this is the high level of the levels of the believers, those who are foremost in doing good deeds. وَالَّذِي أَدَّى الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَالْفَرَائِضِ وَالنَّوَافِلِ وَتَجَنَّبَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَالْمَكْرُوهَاتِ وبعض المباحات احتياطا فهذا في أعلى الدرجات المؤمنين قال الله تعالى فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات in Surah Al-Fatiha 32nd ayah he says that the third group are those who are foremost in doing good deeds the one who fulfilled the obligatory duties the wajibat and the faraid and he also did the extra voluntary things and he avoided that which is haram and he also avoided that which is makruh Not haram, but it's disliked by Allah. It's detested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He avoided those things as well. And he said he avoided some of the mubahat. Some things that are permissible. Ihtiyatan. Yani just to take precautions. This is the highest level of the believers. And Allah said all of these three levels. Yani those who are zalim li nafsi. And those who are muqtasid. And those who are sabiqun bi khairat. Allah says the believers. Al-mu'minuna. And all of them are included. لا يخرجون عن هذه الأقسام الثلاثة. The believers do not go out of these three groups. Either ظالم لنفسي, سابق بخير أو مقتصد. All the believers come under one of these categories. He said, كلهم في الجنة. All of them will be in the paradise. And the proof of this is that the following ayat, after Allah mentions these three groups of the believers, He said, جنات عدن يدخلونها. That God, they will be in gardens, يعني, of eternity. And they will enter into those gardens. يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَلُؤْلُؤًا وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ So they will be adorned with yani bracelets of gold and pearls and they will be wearing silver. The Shaykh says, حَتَّى ظَالِمْ لِنَفْسِي Even the one who has wronged his own self, fil Jannah. He will be in Jannah. Madama laysa indahu shirk wala kufr. As long as he didn't die upon shirk or kufr. And as long as he didn't die with shirk or kufr. The most that can be said about him is that he has some sins, maybe even some major sins, but no shirk. This one will be from the people of Jannah. Either he will enter it by Allah's pardoning him and Allah's forgiveness, or he will be punished in the hellfire to the extent that is necessary, yani, to purify him from his sins. And then he will also enter the Jannah. Okay, now we have reached the hour. And there's just a little bit remaining that I feel is extremely beneficial. We're not going to allow it to go. This is from Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid, his explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. He mentions several points. He quotes from Ibn Salah, one of the great scholars of hadith. And then he quotes from Al-Qurtubi, also a great scholar of hadith. And from Qurtubi, he mentions four benefits. And we're going to close with this. Pardon me, I'll skip the reading of the Arabic just so that we can get through this more quickly. But whoever can go back to either the explanation of Sahih Muslim, Al-Mufhim by Imam Qurtubi, or go back to the explanation of Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid, whichever, and find what he says here, that Al-Qurtubi says, the Prophet ﷺ didn't mention in this hadith anything of the extra voluntary deeds. He didn't mention any of that. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى جَوَازِ تَرْكِ التَّتَوَّعَاتِ عَلَى الْجُمْلَةِ And this, the fact that he didn't mention any of that and said this person will enter the paradise, is an indication of the permissibility of a person not doing the extra voluntary deeds. That is permissible to do so. However, لَكِنْ مَنْ تَرَكَهَا وَلَمْ يَفْعَلْ شَيْئًا But whoever left the voluntary deeds and didn't do any of them at all, فَقَدْ فَوَّتَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ رُبْحًا عَظِيمًا وَثَوَابًا جَسِيمًا This is a tremendous point. So whoever left them, it's permissible? Naam, they're not obligatory. Voluntary extra deeds, the person didn't do any of them. But if they did so, then they will have caused themselves to miss out on a tremendous benefit and an immense reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for doing those voluntary deeds. Second point. وَمَنْ دَاوَمَ عَلَى تَرْكْ شَيْئًا مِنَ السُّنِنِ And whoever consistently abandoned anything from the sunnah, any particular sunnah, and they never did it. They knew about it and didn't just care for it. He said, "Men dawama ala tark shay'in min as-sunan. Kana dhalika naqsan fi dinihi wa qadhan fi adalatihi. Fa in kana tarakahu tahawunan wa raghbatan 'anha kana dhalika fisqan yastahiqu bihi dhanb." Yani the person who abandoned something from the sunnah, completely abandoned it, constantly, never performed it, then this will be a naqs in his deen, a defect in his deen. Deen is defective. It will be qadhan fi adalatihi. His integrity will be decreased. Yani it will be an impairment, a depreciation of his adala. Yani his integrity is lessened because there's something from the sunnah he just didn't care about it at all. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا Yani indeed in the Messenger of Allah there is an excellent example for whoever has hope in Allah in the last day and remembers Allah much. This example of the Prophet ﷺ is not to be taken lightly. Nobody should just abandon anything from the sunnah completely. Even if they did it, sometimes. You didn't fast every Monday and Thursday, sometimes you did it. You did it sometimes. Yani you didn't get up every night and pray the Yani night prayer, Qiyam al-Layl, but sometimes you did it. To abandon completely that which the Prophet ﷺ has given us the example of, yani this is a defect in a person's deen, and it is a detraction from their adala. And if they did it, tahawunan, yani in disdain, in scorn of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, having no desire for the sunnah, كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِسْقًا يَسْتَحِقُ بِهِ ذَمْ Then this is fisq. Due to which a person deserves to be blamed. Yani, fisk, the scholars generally say that fisk is kuruj an ta'atillah. Yani, that a person is outside of obedience to Allah. Meaning that this is really something sinful. And it shows, their morals. Yani, it shows the level, yani, the weakness of their morals, yani, that they are not yani up to par. The third point and the fourth point that he mentions, our scholar said, لو أن أهل البلدة تواطعوا على ترك سنة لقتل عليها حتى يرجعوا. And if the people of a land agreed upon, yani made an agreement, yani intentional abandonment of a sunnah, he said they should be fought until they return to it. And the last point the Shaykh makes, he said, and this is really, really important, he goes into a lot of detail, we're not going to go through the detail, we're just going to try to close it. لَقَدْ كَانَ صَدْرُ السَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَمَنْ بَعَدَهُمْ يُثَابِرُونَ عَلَى فِعْلِ السُّنَنْ وَالْفَضَائِلْ مُثَابَرَتَهُمْ عَلَى الْفَرَائِدْ. Yani that the first beginning, yani the beginning of this ummah, the companions of the Prophet and those who came after them from the Tabi'in and Atba'a Tabi'in, may Allah be pleased with them, he said, كانوا يثابرون على فعل السنن والفضائل. They used to yani apply themselves diligently with zeal to doing the things that are sunnah and the virtuous deeds in the same way that they applied themselves to the fara'id. Huh? The same zeal, enthusiasm that they had about obligatory, they had the same zeal for the sunan and the fada'il. This is really important. This is really important. And then he says, وَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يُفَرِّكُونَ بَيْنُهُمَا فِي اغْتِنَامْ ثَوَابَهَا. And they didn't make any difference. They didn't make any distinction between the sunan and the fara'id. They didn't make any distinction between them in their yani effort to catch, to capture the reward for them. And in the same way they wanted the reward of the obligatory deeds, the same way they went after getting the reward for the voluntary deeds. And then he says, the scholars of fiqh yani differentiated between the sunnah and the fard. And in fiqh language, there's a difference between that which is fard or wajib and sunnah. He said they made a distinction between them due to yani the distinction in terms of the obligatory duty. If a person didn't do it, they have to go back and do it. A sunnah, if a person didn't do it, they don't have to go back and do it. And the obligatory duty, if they didn't do it, you fear punishment for not doing it. Whereas the voluntary deed, if you didn't do it, there's no fear of punishment. In that sense, there's a distinction. Otherwise, the companions of the Prophet, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't make any distinction. They went after the voluntary deeds, the commendable, virtuous deeds, in the same way they went after the obligatory, and they didn't make any distinction between seeking the reward, between this and between that. And we're going to stop with this. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If there's any question or any comment, inshallah we'll take it after we close out. We'll take the questions afterwards, inshallah, as we sit, whoever is able to remain because yani of the time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.